This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 176. For today, CJ and I are going to look forward to 2017 with our predictions, wishes, and goals, recorded live, January the 13th, 2017.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by ShareGate. ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 365 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check them out on ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive.
Good day, CJ.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. And it's Friday the 13th. We're kind of risking it doing a recording on this day. I know you've had a bit of a fun week already.
What do you reckon the chances of us getting any of our predictions right when we're recording it on Friday the 13th?
Good point. Yeah, it's maybe not so good. I didn't go too ambitious with my predictions this year. I blanked on a bunch of stuff, but
yeah,
whatever.
You mentioned I've had a bit of a crazy week. Yeah, I was horrifically sick on Tuesday, probably the sickest I've been in years. And it's just throwing me completely off. So if I sound like a brainless droid today, apologies in advance.
No worries, man. I know we talked about rescheduling. I had an old friend that I linked up with earlier this week. I had coffee with on the time that we normally do our recordings here, and I know you texted me and said, I can't do it. I'm sick as a dog, but all good.
Yeah.
You look a hell of a lot better than you at least seemed like you were earlier this week.
Oh man, it was rough. I was not happy. I've not felt that bad in years.
Is that a flu or just stomach bug? Or
yeah, it was a stomach thing, but I don't know whether it was a bug or a virus. I can't tell. So
no fun.
I don't know how to tell the difference or what signs to look for, but yeah, either way, Tuesday was... It all happened Monday night, and a Tuesday was a write-off for me. Trying to hold down water was my goal on Tuesday.
Oh, not fun. Well, not hey, what else has been up in your life this week?
Oh, we got some new folks at work starting, so we're onboarding a new guy on my team and getting some extra muscle on the dev team. So that's really exciting. We get a bit more throughput in the team, and the team's expanding, and with it comes more challenges of making sure everybody's doing the right thing and staying efficient and lean and all that sort of stuff. But also all the pros come with it as well, that we're able to get more done and chew through some more of our backlog a bit quicker. So that's kind of really exciting this week for me.
Awesome. Yeah. It was always a double-edged sword bringing on somebody new because you've got like that. You feel like you're not getting as much done because you got to get them up to speed so that they can get rolling to be able to do what you brought them on board to do, which is to, like you said, knock down the backlog, get a lot more accomplished. But it's that whole like hiring, interviewing people, getting them onboarded, getting them up to speed on what's going on. That's just, I get so irritated with that stuff.
Yeah, finding people, I find the most hard job. Everything I do, finding people, good people, is very tedious and hard.
I can understand that. I can definitely understand that.
What about you, man?
A bit bummed this week. After training for months for a half marathon that's supposed to be, it is going to be tomorrow, I'm not allowed to run it because I found out last week, or I found out more details this week, that I have it's called a stress reaction, which is the precursor to a stress fracture. It feels like whenever I run, it feels like someone is hitting my lower shin bone with a hammer. So it's pretty damn painful. And for a few days after my last run, I had to run two Tuesdays ago. That was incredibly painful, and I had to pull up short. And I knew something was wrong, had to get an MRI, and it diagnosed it. So basically it says no running at all for 2 weeks. You can walk. You're not allowed to do anything else. But as long as I can walk without pain, I don't have to be in a boot or on crutches. But really pisses me off because I'm almost a minute and a half under my PR, my personal record pace for a half marathon. So it just like my peak conditioning, peak training and everything. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, you can't do it.
That's a real bummer, man.
Pisses me off, but it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there, I do have some cool stuff that I did. People who read my blog might be familiar with it, but I went through the whole process of cutting the cord, so to speak. I did a little bit of research on it a couple of months ago, spent a little more time with it recently, and then kind of just went crazy with it over the weekend, Friday, some on Saturday and Sunday, and was able to figure out the whole over-the-air channels and streaming and all that stuff and take my bill. I think I slashed our bill from about 70 or 80%, saving over like $100. So it was a figure that we should, when I know we had a lot of questions about it. We talked about you doing a geek out with some of the home automation stuff. I think we could probably do a geek out too with one of these cutting the cord talks as well. I know you do this as well, some of the stuff as well. So it could be some fun episodes coming up in the next month or two.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. We should definitely do that. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Before we do our goals too, before we jump in the news, there's one other thing I do want to call out as well. I'm doing for those of you who are developers who are interested in the SharePoint framework, this past week, Microsoft released the first release candidate, RC0, for the SharePoint framework. And I'm doing a webinar with Lightning Tools, one of the ISVs in the SharePoint space and the Office 365 space. I'm going to do a webinar with them at the end of January. So if you're interested, I'll have links in the show notes to both that Cutting the Cord blog post, as well as where you can go register to attend this webinar to get up to speed on the SharePoint framework, if you're interested.
Nice. That'll be really cool.
So I do have three bits of news here that I did want to share that I thought were kind of timely. And so we figure we throw these out here before they get too far beyond us, and then we'll dive into our wishes. So
perfect.
I don't know if you have any of the news. Do you have any news items that you want to share with us?
No, I'm news free this week. Hey, I'm alive. That's my news.
Well, hey, the first one, this isn't too surprising, but I guess it's always kind of a bit of a shock when you see something as impactful as this. But Yahoo says that Marissa Mayer is going to leave the board and leave Yahoo when the Verizon deal closes, and Yahoo will operate under a new name, Altaba.
We should really put a little call out. If this was a webcast, we'd have a call out at the bottom of the screen with a fancy graphic, which is the circling the drain graphic, because I feel very conflicted about this. Like, this is the slow, painful demise of a once powerful computing giant. Or maybe it's the turnaround. You never know. Maybe they've had to hit totally rock bottom before rebuilding. And maybe it won't be the last we see of Yahoo, I guess. But it's been painful journey for them, that's for sure.
Yeah, it absolutely has. So this is culminating after Yahoo sold the rights, or Verizon won the rights to Yahoo last year. They paid $4.8 billion for it. What this is going to do is it's going to, like I said, Marissa Mayer is going to be leaving the board and the company, but she's not the only one to depart. Co-founder David Filo, Eddie Hartstein, Richard Hill, Jane Shaw, Maynard Webb, they'll all be leaving. They'll still be living too. I don't think this is that much of a termination. And so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
So that's one.
It's kind of a shame because they were, you know, they've done great things on the internet in the past, and it is a shame to see them go down the tubes, so to speak. Excuse the pun, but hopefully we'll see more good stuff out of the remnants of Yahoo.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, another one here on the Microsoft. I got two Microsoft bits of news here. So another one here that came out is Microsoft is taking on IFT, or if this then that, with even more supported services in Microsoft Flow. So they're adding the ability to do things like work with Salesforce Chatter, Discuss, the commenting service that people have on blogs and different sites, Google Contacts, Medium, WordPress. There's a lot of stuff that they're going. They're adding support for 13 more services here to really build out Flow, which really builds off the conversation we had with Laura Rogers in a recent episode.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Mm. If anybody figures out how to use it, they'll be hugely successful.
Are you having the same problem with Flow?
No, I haven't used it enough to say I'm having any problems with it per se, other than if I'm a betting man, I'd put quite a bit of money on them not having a royal shit show in hell of ever making it as simple as IFT.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I agree. So I shouldn't say that I've had as a problem using it because I haven't spent a ton of time with it, but the little bit of time that I have spent with it, I have had a hard time using it. I used to use IFT and I switched more of my stuff over to Zapier to kind of keep it in one spot. I really like Zapier. I really like their UI and I love how easy it is to configure stuff. It is a little bit more advanced than what IFT has. IFT is very, very simple stuff, but
yeah. I think it's a continuum, right? Ift is ultra simple. Zapier is a bit more of a prosumer tool. And Flow is built by a bunch of engineers and developers who are in the CNE team, right, that build Azure and SQL and all these other things. I just, as much as I want it to be ultra user-friendly and simple for everybody to use, I just don't have that faith. Sorry, like, call me a naysayer if you like, but them pitching this as like a thing that goes up against Ift, I just think is nonsense.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how well this takes hold.
First up, nobody's using Ift inside an enterprise, and Flow is an enterprise tool. So that's the first thing. But anyway, I could...
Oh, well.
I'll stop. I hope they get better. Yeah,
I hope they get better as well. The next one that I have here from Microsoft is Microsoft. We started seeing people talking about this on the Twitter sphere, on Facebook. Office 365 has introduced a new app called the Staff Hub. It's a staff management app. And effectively, really what it's for is for those companies who are using Office 365, but they have what they call the deskless worker. Mm-hmm. Make sure I say that the right way and it doesn't sound like something else. But but they essentially, it's there for helping people manage like staff schedules. So if you're in like the service industry or a restaurant or a department store or stuff like that, it's supposed to help you be able to manage those
schedules,
people that don't want. Yeah. Yeah. And schedules and everything. It was funny because I saw a bunch of people start asking about it and not really understand what it was or how to use it. And of course you go to the announcement on the Microsoft blog site, on the Office blog site, and it says, how do you use it? Say, well, everybody gets it by default, but you can turn it off. So it's kind of like this thing is showing up in everybody's admin and they're confused on what it is. And
this goes into one of those SMB apps that they've been releasing, like the bookings app, right? For bookings and schedule for calendar management, for if you take bookings from customers or clients. And it sort of falls into that SMB app category. And I think I've mentioned it on the show before, like that's all well and good. And I'm sure these apps are useful in their own right. I just feel like if you're going to be scheduling stuff and stuff like that, there's probably best of breed scheduling apps that are better. But, you know, it's nice to have it at some option out of the box, right?
Yeah. So I'll have links to these three new announcements, the Yahoo News, the Flow News and the Flow release or update, and the Staff Hub stuff. I'll put all that in the show notes.
Gotcha.
Hey, before we dive in to our predictions and wishes and professional goals, I think we should take a second and pay the bills and have a word from one of our sponsors.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Rencore. Rencore is a market leader in the code analysis space. Founded and driven by high-profile international SharePoint and Office 365 experts, their main goal is to help any organization using Microsoft's enterprise productivity environments to work more efficiently by providing software that optimizes and secures their collaboration solutions. Rencore's most recognized product, the SharePoint Code Analysis Framework, SPCAF, is the de facto standard tool for verifying the quality, compliance, and governance of SharePoint and Office 365 customizations. If your company is using SharePoint or Office 365 and you're struggling to get your Office 365 and SharePoint customizations under control, check them out at spcaf.com to learn all the ways that SPCAF can help you.
All right, CJ. What we did in the last few years is we've done a predictions and our wishes goals or wishes and everything announcements, sorry, episode that we want to do for the future year. We look back at our 2016 one a couple episodes ago, and now we want to do our 2017. And you and I decided to change this up a little bit. With this year for 2017, we've gone with three different categories. We have our predictions, our wishes, what we hope happens, and then our professional or personal goals or something like that. So just a little bit of accountability stuff there. I've got a couple things in each one of these different categories. To be honest, I'm a little disappointed in some of mine because I sat here, we talked about doing this a couple of weeks ago and sitting down and recording it. I've been thinking off and on about, you know, what I would expect to happen this in 2017 and what I hope have happened. The hope was easier to come up with. The predictions, I wasn't feeling very Nostradamus-y in coming up with my prediction. So I don't know how you felt about it, but I figure, why don't you go ahead? You go first. Why don't you throw out your three predictions and then I'll throw out my three predictions and give us a little bit of commentary on each and we'll see how we do in about a year and see if we did a complete failure here or not.
No problem. Okay, so prediction number one, bots and AI rise in the enterprise. So this is kind of all of the talk about bots and AI right now is all very consumer focused, right? The Microsoft bot framework doesn't integrate with Skype for Business, for example. And you'd think, like, there are a lot of really interesting scenarios with bots and AI and things like that in the enterprise. And I know typically that technology lands first in consumer and sort of becomes popular, and then the enterprise is slow to adopt. And I think that's probably the exact thing that we're seeing with bots and AI in the enterprise. But I think this year, people will start realizing, like, hey, although this is well and good that I can order a pizza by talking to a bot, it might be more interesting to get a job done inside my company. And I just really think that, like, this is the kind of year where the tech is ready to start becoming useful. We spent the last couple of years doing stuff with consumer, and that now it's time for some interesting bots in the enterprise, let's put it that way.
That's a pretty good one. I like that. I think that's a good prediction. I would agree with you that that's a direction that we're seeing the industry start going.
Yeah.
Especially in the enterprise spot.
That's kind of a techie one, kind of more in our industry. A less techie one is self-driving takes off with Uber and trucks. So we've seen some experiments this year from Uber and a couple of others with self-driving. And we're seeing the work that Tesla's doing, obviously, in their cars. But I think this year is when we're going to first see it, you know, a sort of a, maybe not in the States. I don't know where this will happen, but I'd love to see, I'd love it, but also I think this is going to be the year where we see like a real self-driving commercial venture take off. And I hope it's in Seattle. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I think it was California, and there's another state. There's two states where it's actually legal for them to do it, but can't remember exactly where it was.
Yeah, I think they had to leave. Oh, gosh, what city was it? Was it San Francisco? They got asked. I'm pretty sure it was San Francisco. They got shut down or told to shut down that they weren't meeting the law. So they've gone somewhere else now, I think. But I can't wait for this. I think it's going to be awesome.
I can tell you firsthand on the Tesla side, I know they're not fully autonomous. They're getting very, very close. But even the hardware that we have on our car, it's amazing how well it performs. It's amazing how well it performs. They do a really, really good job with it. And I guess in any sense, it's the one thing that's a little on the negative side is that Tesla's adding more and more restrictions around it. So I used to be able to put it on cruise control and the auto steer when you're going, like, say, 80 or 85 miles an hour on the highway. And now, on a lot of times, it'll only let you set it at the speed limit for the highway that you're on right then. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and it caused a couple.
Getting closer, little step by little step by little step. Next, it'll automatically come on when you get on a highway, right, and set the speed. And then as soon as everybody's doing that, then we're solid, right? Then you don't need to get douchebags driving erratically.
It was funny because
all that.
It's a little too abrupt right now because there are some people that are reporting where if all of a sudden the speed limit changes, then the car detects the speed limit change. You can see the street signs. It's been able to do that for a while. And then all of a sudden the car's slamming on the brakes to drop down 10, 15 miles an hour or something. Cars can just rear end them or whatever. So I've experienced that once. Even if it's self-driving, you have to pay attention. You have to let it, you're still in control. So
That makes sense.
Anyway.
Okay, prediction number three. So the first one was bots and AI's rise in the enterprise. Number two was self-driving takes off with Uber and trucks. Number three is the LinkedIn acquisition and integration from Microsoft delivers very little in 2017. I know that sounds really negative. It's a negative prediction. So I think this year for them will be a lot of integration stuff behind the scenes, corporate integration, engineering integration starting in terms of like how the teams work and collaborate and all that sort of stuff. And typically how these things go is that takes a ton of time. And that means that you typically don't see a lot of visible kind of delivered things in the first year or two or five. But hopefully they've learned from Yammer. But I just don't think we're going to see much in 2017 from LinkedIn and the acquisition that Microsoft made. Eventually, yeah, absolutely. I just think people are expecting magic overnight, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I remember reading the stuff that Satya said he was going to do where the priorities were, and it seems like the value part of it is always going to be is really going to be in the data, not so much the systems or any of that stuff. So from the seeing like a LinkedIn website being a Microsoft thing or whatever, that doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot that's going to be in terms of the benefit there. It's really going to be how Microsoft uses the data or allows you to use the data within the stuff that you're already using for Microsoft.
Yeah, and I, you know, part of me thinks this is, like, the cynic in me thinks the LinkedIn acquisition from Microsoft, oh, it's definitely a good one, but the cynic in me thinks that part of it was Satya marking his territory as a CEO, and it's his first massive acquisition, and that they don't exactly or didn't exactly have all of the scenarios and all the things that they wanted to do with integration nailed down, and fair enough, right? But it's going to take some time to work all that stuff out. So I think it'll take longer than this year.
Yeah, cool. So
those are my three predictions.
Three good predictions.
Yeah.
Very good.
You want to get into some of yours?
Yeah, so I've got three here. I tried to come up with one around Office 365 and came up with a complete blank. I have a couple wishes there, but that's different.
Well. Yeah.
So I have three predictions here, one around Microsoft or the industry as a whole, one around Apple, and one around Twitter. Ooh. So I'm going to do the easy one first. So doubling down on what I said last year, which was Twitter's finally going to become profitable, which they did. They had to fire a bunch of people to get there. They did something. They did get profitable. Yep. I think this year is the year that Twitter's future is finally going to become clear, because I don't think it's very clear right now. I don't think it was clear at all last year in terms of, you know, they try and shop themselves around. Are they going to be profitable? Nobody ends up wanting to buy them. Now it seems like people want to buy them just to shut them down, to shut Trump up. So I don't think... It just seems like this year is the, I have a feel that this year is the year that their future is finally going to become a little bit more clear than what we know today.
We don't want to get too political here, but Donald Trump may actually save Twitter. And I don't think anybody's going to buy them to shut them down because of him. I actually think there's going to be a crap load of people that will join Twitter because of him. Like, he's not using the mainstream media to talk to people. He's using Twitter to have his tweet storms and bits and bobs go on. And he's actually doing a great job for them. Like, it's probably helping their bottom line a ton. And especially, like, if you want to follow along with what's going on, like, you have to tune into Twitter to see what he's saying, because he's not saying it through the mainstream media. So
no,
he's helping them.
It's a way for him to get past the mainstream media too, because he clearly doesn't have a great relationship with the mainstream media.
You think.
But, you know, it's, and like you said, I'm not going to go political here. I'm just standing impartial on the sideline. But I don't remember another president or president-elect being as conversive with the citizens as much as he has been. Not saying anything good or bad about what he's saying or anything like that, but he sure seems to be talking to the citizens a lot more than everybody else did, or talking at them, talking to them, whatever. You can wrap this up into so many different ways here.
But he's saying stuff, whether you agree or not or whatever, he's saying stuff.
Yeah. There's more coming from him. It's less of a perception of a president-elect sitting in a room just making decisions and coming out for a press conference once every 2 or 3 weeks. So
yeah, I guess as a medium, that's quite a different thing, right? Like that's definitely not been done quite like that in the past. I mean, Obama did a little bit of it. There was early days of Twitter and all that, but like I said, I think he's probably really helping them out. So of all the years of your predictions, this one is helped by that, I suspect. Yeah.
Trump helping me, crazy. Anyway, no. So Twitter's future will finally become clear. My other somewhat pessimistic, or I guess my pessimistic prediction is around Apple. And I'm saying that we're going to see more of the same. Basically, I think that, you know, Apple's been berated in the last few months over their lackluster update. People weren't very happy about the iPhone 7 and the lack of a headphone jack, and Apple even revised down or cut the number of shipments for iPhone 7s. Mm-hmm. And then we had the whole issue around the MacBook Pros. Since it's come out, there's been a lot of bad news and press around the battery life. And a lot of people in the creative space have been, I've seen a lot of stuff in the last couple of weeks of people leaving Mac OS, leaving MacBooks, looking at Windows, going more serious to Linux, because they just feel like Apple has lost their way with them. And so I think that what we'll see this year is that we'll see in one or two of their events, Apple will respond to this, to the prosumers, to the creative types, but they're not going to do it in the direction that everyone wants them to go in. Mm. They're going to go in the opposite direction and really dig a deeper hole. And we may start to see a changing of the guard from Apple over the next year or two.
I totally agree. I feel like they're abandoning the prosumer, and it's going to hurt them. Like, we've bought a few of those MacBook Pros with, you know, the four USB-C ports, and it is a royal pain in the ass. Like, As a work laptop, it's a royal pain in the butt. Like, we've got different display cables for monitors and dongles for everything and all this other stuff, and things that you used to use no longer plug in, and now we've got to have USB hubs for everything, and like, it's just not, I just don't feel it's a pro machine. So I think they're going to feel that. But whether they care, I don't know.
Okay, so that's Apple, more of the same. They're going to respond to the consumer complaints and the prosumer complaints, but they're not going to do it in the right direction.
Nice.
My positive one, this is around the industry as a whole, but I really am focused, I'm really targeting Microsoft and Microsoft Azure specifically, is that I think that this is the year, even you could have argued that I'm a year late on this, but I think that this is year, the year for machine learning, cognitive services, analytics, that you're, and this goes along with your bot statement that you had earlier, but I really think that we're going to see Microsoft really lead the way in this. Google's done a lot of good work in their Google Cloud platform around some of these more big data and machine learning and stuff like that as well. But I think that Microsoft is the one that's really going to drive this. AWS seems to be falling behind in this, or at least not playing in the same space. And I just expect to see Microsoft and Azure to really be the ones to lead this way.
Yeah, I guess I totally agree with that. It's I think they're uniquely positioned to win in the business and commercial space for sure.
Very cool.
Nice work. Good predictions.
Cool. Thank you very much. So before we dive into our wishes, get your wishes ready. But before we do that, let's have a word from one of our sponsors.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Valid.nl. Valid's motto is stay ahead. Its mission is to enable its customers to excel in their business through the innovative use of IT. Valid is always on the lookout for new colleagues. Are you interested in all things happening in Azure, whether in infrastructure, SQL Server, Office 365, BI, SharePoint, or .NET? Look them up on valid.nl.
All right, Mr. Johnson, wishes. You want to give us your wishes?
Yeah, rattle them off. These are a little more.
One, two, three, four, whatever.
These are a little more aspirational versus what I think will happen. So, you know, these are a bit hit and miss, right? These are what you want to happen, sure, not what you think will happen. Okay, so wish number one, Office 365, integration and simplification versus more junk in the trunk.
I'm pretty close on one of these, so go ahead.
So, yeah, I just want to see more integration between the things that they offer versus creating more things. Wunderlist,
of the same
Wunderlist and tasks. You and I had a side discussion on this over Slack the other day, but there is like six different places for tasks in Office 365 now, and none of them talk to each other. And they're going to do some, you know, there's probably going to be some simplification of this over time, but why isn't there one place for tasks? This makes no sense to anybody outside out of Microsoft, right? Inside of Microsoft, I absolutely can see how it happens and why it's the case. But outside makes them look silly. So I want integration and simplification versus more junk in the trunk. They got a great offering. Stop adding more stuff to it and complicating things.
Which one?
Huh?
Which one's the great offering?
Oh, no.
Which task?
365, I mean, as a whole, is a great offering. It's just getting heavier and heavier.
And you're not talking about that just around tasks. You're talking about that around everything, like around collaboration, around like, you know, Yammer / Teams / Skype /
Yep, exactly. There's always five choices, which is a pain. Okay, so that's wish number one.
Yep.
Wish number two, Azure subscription management made simple and easy. And the reason I wish this is very...
I almost put this on there.
It's very personal, but I've got like 10 or 12 different Azure subscriptions, maybe more. Hell, I don't even know. Probably more, including test environments and all this. And it is such a pain in the butt to manage them. Just to get into each one, figure out where your resources are in each one, all this sort of stuff. Like, I just find it really complicated. The portal doesn't help because it's slow. And it's hard to switch between them and switch back and forth and all that. And I don't know. I don't know if it's a UI thing or an experience thing or what, but it's just something's got to give because you can't get a holistic view of your stuff in Azure. It's always by subscription.
I totally agree with you. We have all of our logs for downloads for the podcast in a database that in a process that you created that you've given me access to. I spent 45 minutes the other morning trying to find that damn database. I couldn't find what subscription it was in. I couldn't figure out what I had the database name, and I had the server name, I had a username, and I had a password.
You couldn't find it.
But I couldn't get to the damn thing because my ISP changed. So I had a new IP address. I had to change the firewall. And you were sound asleep, and I'm just. We had a sponsor that was trying to get some data back from their on the downloads, and I was like, "Ah!"
Yeah, that's it's infuriating, right? I'm glad it's not just me. So, Azure subscription management made simple and easy. So that's number two. Okay. And then the third one, and this is a little bit airy-fairy and a bit hand-wavy, but I just want the world to focus on what's important and the facts and not turn into a complete circus.
think, too late.
And of all of the years that this could happen, this is the one that's ripe for the picking. And it would just suck if we just went nowhere, all backwards or wherever. And so it's not a technology thing. It's just a personal wish that I hope that people hold on to what's important and facts and not get drawn into the conundrum and the turmoil and the tornado of BS that we're seeing going on.
Yeah, it's I'm right there with you.
It's a lot to ask for, I know.
Especially in the US. What's that?
It's a lot to ask for, I know.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, I know that a lot of it goes around with this whole election that we've had and Trump about to be inaugurated. And I tell you, it's doing wonders for me to be more productive and not be distracted by Facebook, because of everyone ranting and stuff on Facebook. I don't really have an interest to go to Facebook much right now, because they're just people, that's all people talk about.
Yeah. It's really, it's getting worse and worse and worse, but it also makes me sad that I'm withdrawing, because of all of the times people should be engaging, not withdrawing. And anyway, I'll stop. But anyway, that's what I wish. Those are my three wishes.
There you go.
Two tech and one hand wavy.
Well, mine's going to be all tech. My first one, and this kind of goes along with one of my predictions, is with Apple. I really hope they get back to their whole hardware revolution roots. I really want to see a good Mac Pro. I really want to see a good MacBook. I mean, a really good MacBook Pro. I love OS X. I like it, or Mac OS. I like it more than Windows. I can't take, I'm not a fan of Windows these days. I like the fact that we have two strong operating systems to each their own. I'm not going to slam Windows. It just doesn't work for me. I like OS X. I really want, if money was no object, I really want to have a really powerful Mac Pro sitting on my desk that I can use for all my video editing and all that stuff. And then I want to be able to have a nice 13-inch MacBook or a MacBook Pro that I can take and, you know, go off and do what, and when I want to be mobile or whatever. Those are the two machines. That's like my dream kind of setup right now. But I don't know. I just have to wait and see if Apple decides to do it. So I do love my new Apple Watch that I got for Christmas. I love it for running. I love it for the day-to-day use. I love the data that it provides. I love the battery life. The battery life is freaking incredible. It's so much better than I expected.
You know, it's kind of on this wish. Don't you think of all the times in Apple's history, now might be the time to let people do Mac OS on other hardware?
It's just not in their DNA. I mean, you saw, I don't know if you saw this article today. So Tesla just hired the guy that was responsible for, was it Swift? And for Swift and something else. And there was an article that he didn't say a ton, but what he did say, it was pretty obvious in the article that one of the reasons he left was he's just tired of how secretive the company is. And that kind of goes along with it. It's kind of like you can be in this secretive company, but when you look at how everybody else is operating and being so open.
Yeah, it's polar opposites, isn't it?
It's kind of like why I want to be where those guys are.
Yeah, no, exactly. I just think it'd be awesome if they let Mac OS run on other hardware, and then they wouldn't have to deliver, you know, they wouldn't have to have a bunch of disgruntled developers with a new MacBook Pro. They could, you know, people could choose a device that was really perfect for them, with the ports and the features and the specs that were perfect for them, but they could also run Mac OS. And like you, right? You want to run Mac OS because you like the operating system and it suits you. And you could pick a piece of hardware that also suited you. Not necessarily have to compromise on some things.
Yeah. I like the operating system and I do love their hardware. I get what you're saying about the issues that you guys have or the frustrations you have, but you know, maybe a couple more options than what we have right now, which is, you want a 15-inch MacBook Pro? You get a 15-inch MacBook Pro. There's no like, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that with it? There's very few changes you can make. Okay, so my other two wishes deal with Office 365. One of them is going to be very similar to yours, which is just simplify the damn options between forums and external users and tasks. I went on a little rant on Twitter the other morning, and I got some people started to flame me until I finished my three-part Twitter series, but I tried pretty hard to use Microsoft Teams. I've tried for a while. With the people that work on the new business venture I'm working on, the people that work with me, I've tried to push it on everybody and it's just been met with frustrations, and you got the conversations going, but then the conversations don't show up as like in your email. So if you don't open up the team's client, then you don't see anything for a while. The task lists are just a complete, frankly, the task list and the integration with Planner to me is a shit show. You can create a task list at the top level, but then you can also create them at like sub levels inside of Teams. But then when you try and go to the Planner web app, you can't see any of the ones that are in the sub levels.
Gotcha.
So I spent about 2 or 3 hours one morning the other day, and at the day you were sick, and I ripped everything out of Teams. We went back to, we put it on Google Drive because it's, we use the Google Docs for notes, but we got rid of OneNote, we got rid of OneDrive, moved everything up there, moved stuff over to Trello for like tasks and stuff. We're probably going to use something like Teamwork or Asana for project stuff, but it's just 365. It's got to get a little bit simpler, like you said, for tasks, for forums. And to me, the other thing that people are giving me grief about was around, where external users are coming for Teams. It's one of the hot features that's coming. Frankly, number one, I'm not going to wait for it, because number two, I don't have a lot of confidence it's going to be very easy to use, because external users has been a complete shit show in Office 365 from day one and SharePoint. So
plus, I'm sick of hearing the excuse of it's coming. Like, quite frankly, I'm just done with it. And like, that doesn't help.
I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the same day that I did that afternoon, somebody puts an article out and they said, hey, Teams is going to take over all collaboration from Slack and from Hangouts in the next 3 or 4 years. And someone shot me a message and said, well, what do you think about this? I'm like, I don't care. I want to be productive today. I want to be productive tomorrow. I don't give a shit about how productive I'm going to be in 4 years.
There's going to be a lot of beeping on this show. So, it's going to be awesome. Let's get into it.
Yeah, sorry. Got a little pissed.
No, I think you're right.
All right. So, here's my other one around Office 365. And a lot of this kind of goes along with what the complaints that I just had a second ago. But I really wish that Office 365 would have more of a focus, or at least recognize that the world is not just enterprise business. Mm-hmm. And Office 365 has an awesome offering, but they don't look at the startup business, the very small micro businesses, the companies that have a mix of employees and contractors who aren't all in the exact same tenant. And if Office 365, specifically with Microsoft Teams, if you have people that are not in the same Office 365 tenant, Teams sucks. It's incredibly frustrating. That's why we ditched it. I actually had two contractors quit on me because I was trying to force them to use Teams, and they're like, we can't get stuff done. A third one actually quit, but I just moved all the stuff over to Dropbox and then he kept working
with
me. So yeah. I wish that Microsoft would recognize that. And when I say small business, in the industry, when you say small business, you mean companies with less than 1,000 employees. I'm talking like 5 employees, 10 employees, small companies. Yeah. Make it easier to work with.
I think even Microsoft considers SMB, like small business, small medium business, sort of 250 to 300 seats. So even in those type of companies, it's still an issue, right? But even in the micro businesses, right, is they've got a great set of offerings. But when you do stupid shit, like put PSTN external and internal calling into an E5 SKU for enterprises, it just makes you wonder what's going on, right? Because to me, that seems like an absolute dead ringer, perfect, excuse the pun. Sorry, I did that. An absolute dead ringer of a feature that kicks for small business. We use it, but we have to give people E5 SKUs to do it. And
it's annoying.
And if I'm on a business premium SKU, which is kind of what is suited for small, medium business, and you can't get inbound and outbound calling, what's that all about? It's daft. Absolutely daft.
Well, that and sharing something with someone external, I mean, and I know it's not designed for this, but I even created a little SharePoint site with a calendar for my extended family to manage a property that we all shared in calendars and stuff. Out of the freaking blue in the last few months, all external users can't get to it. Mm. And not only that, if I go in to try and select one of my external users and delete them so that they can re-invite themselves, every time I click on them to delete it, it says can't find the user. Mm. So everything has been completely lost with it. And it's just, I'm like, you know what? You guys send me an email. I'll tell you what's in the calendar. But until then, until I can go stand up like a Google calendar and embed it inside of just a standard HTML web page and put a password on it, that's going to be a better solution than Office 365. But then I see on the other side, this like staff hub come out that's supposed to be for, you know, deskless workers. Like,
wouldn't get the basics right first, yeah.
I don't know. It's irritating. Anyway, so there's my other wish, is that Office 365 would at least pay attention and focus more on the small business and not tell me that they're doing it, actually show me that they're doing it.
Fair enough, too.
All right.
Goals?
You got any goals?
I got some goals. I got three goals. I'm going to rattle them off real fast.
I'm going to go fast, too. Go for it.
Goal number one, learn Go. Goal number two, learn Kubernetes. Goal number three, understand machine learning.
Ooh, I like those.
Simple.
I'm pretty close to you.
Go, I don't need to be a machine at it. I just need to be able to do it. Just because I'm interested in it as a language. It's really fascinating as a language because it's kind of this halfway point between, you know, scripted type stuff, but compiled languages. And anyway, really interesting to me for some reason. Kubernetes, because I want to learn more in the Docker space. And I think Kubernetes is the rising star of Docker right now. And I would love to understand it, play around with it. I'm not going to move to it for our production use yet, but who knows, in the next 12 months, we may do. Docker Cloud's working great for us right now, but I hear great things about Kubernetes and I want to learn about it at least, so I've got, you know, just enough ammo to be dangerous. And then machine learning, you know, I understand the basics of it, but I don't know it. And I would love to read up about it, read some more and play. I just need to play and test stuff out and build my own knowledge base around machine learning and AI and the technologies that have really become sort of mainstream in the last couple of years, especially in the last couple of years, I should say, to know more about it, just out of an interest more than anything.
Those are good. I like those.
Simple.
Okay. So mine are all on the professional side as well. Learn Go.
Yep.
So we have to get a matching one there.
We've talked about having similar goals. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, Go is all about, it's a cross between C or C++, a little bit of scripting, but it's a language that has grown up in the network space today. And so it's really designed for the problems that we have today and not like looking at something like, say, like .NET and putting async and await for things that are multi-threaded and asynchronous and stuff. That, to me, that's a bolt-on. I want to see, you know, stuff that's kind of built up from the ground up. Go looks really appealing.
Also, there's a lot of tools built using it, right? There's a lot of Docker stuff that's built using it and things, so it'd be useful. Yeah.
Well, Docker was built with Go, so it was a big reason why I allowed them to learn Node.js or learn JavaScript more, because so many tools are built with Node or built on top of Node. My other one is, I don't feel as confident about this one, but learn .NET Core. And the reason I want to learn .NET Core is because I think it is also an up-and-comer, but I also want to be versed in a leading language stack from Microsoft. I like that Go is very popular both in the open source space, but it's also very popular from probably the language of choice from Google if it's going to be compiled. .NET Core, I think that's the future where like Microsoft is going on .NET, and I'd like to be able to have that in my tool belt as well. That one shouldn't be as hard to get ramped up on because it borrows so much from Node.js and the stuff that we've done in the past with .NET Framework.
Yeah, and honestly, I'd probably be way more productive, way faster learning more about .NET Core than Go. But hopefully I'll learn a little bit about .NET Core too.
And the last one, this is more of a personal one. I've always been curious about this, but everyone in my house can do this except for me. And so I get really sick of the fact that I look at this and I swear I feel like I'm looking at something like Japanese, which is a language I can't understand anything about. And that's learn how to read sheet music and learn how to play piano. So
wow.
I've already started that. I finally found an app on my iPad that I can put up and it can teach me just how to understand sheet music. I actually understand. I can have one hand up and do the C, D, E, F, G, and I can read the sheet music. And it's a cool little app because it tells you what to do. And as you're doing it, it uses the microphone and tells you if you got it right or got it wrong. So it's...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's just something I want to learn. And I know how to play one or two songs on the piano, but I know them just from memory of which keys to push.
Yeah, you can't read the music. Neither can I.
Nah.
I learned a little bit in school, but that was it. I am not musically talented at all.
So I really want to pick it up.
Oh, those
so.
Are great goals.
Cool. Well,
we will see.
This has been a fun episode, Ben.
Yeah, we'll see how we get on, I guess, this year. And had some good predictions, some nice wishes, and some solid goals to look forward to. So we'll keep track of them and see how we do.
Yeah, and we wrote these down, so it's going to be a lot easier at the end of the year in 12 months so that we can easily track and go back and look and see what we did instead of having to re-listen to it and take notes and figure out if we got it right or not.
Exactly. It's always nice to write them down.
Absolutely. Well, hey, CJ, good talking to you again this week.
Yes.
And I will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, man. Thanks very much.
Did you like this episode? Send us a tweet about it and drop us a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3 and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Air by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.